Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 120 for the week of November 3rd, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
The water is not working today.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
Also, it's kind of hot outside. I don't want to go outside.
It is, yeah, it is kind of hot, which is weird because last week and this week were pretty darn cold, but now it's... Now that it's Friday, suddenly it's hot again, which...
It was chilly like a mofo. And then it gets hot like a mofo again.
Haha.
There can only be one.
It is a funny pun.
Yeah, funny. That term existed back in the 60s, apparently. It just didn't become popular until 2000, which is ironic.
Hmm. Indeed. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the news, shall we? Starting with the Japanese comic ranking for October 27th to the November 2nd. And in 10th place, we have Jojo Leone, Volume 8.
9th place, So Cute It Hurts, Volume 8.
8th place, The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 11.
7th place, Tokyo Ghoul, Volume 14.
6th place, Kanojo wa Uso o Ai Shisugiteru, Volume 15.
Okay. 5th place, Maji, Volume 23.
4th place, Giant Killing, Volume 33.
3rd place, Yokai Watch, Volume 5. For some reason, that series is very popular in Japan. Mm. I hear nothing about it still, regardless.
2nd place, Horimiya, Volume 4, 6.
And 1st place, Drifter, Volume 4. Whoa, Hirano, what did you do here?
Curious. Alright then, let's see. The next bit of news that we have is the North American anime and manga releases for November 2nd through the 8th. And, no, that's not what we have. How did I open that one? That's the wrong one.
Which one did you open?
You put it in the wrong place.
Oh, whoops.
Not my fault.
That was my fault.
Alright, no, what we actually have is the New York Times manga bestseller list for October 19th through the 25th.
Yeah.
Starting with, oh hey, they fixed it. 10th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 13.
And I need to fix mine, anyways. 9th place, Happy Marriage, Volume 8.
8th place, Black Butler, Volume 1.
7th place, Dead Man Wonderland, Volume 5.
6th place, Maximum Ride, Volume 8.
5th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
4th place, Haganai, I Don't Have Many Friends, Volume 9.
3rd place, Food Wars, also known as Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 2.
Sweet. 2nd place, Naruto, Volume 67.
1st place, No Game, No Life, Volume 1. I heard that series is pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out myself yet, so... Alright, now it's time for the North American anime and manga releases for November 2nd through the 8th,
mm-hmm.
which is this week. Anime releases, we've got B. Gata HK Yamada's First Time, a DVD and Blu-ray Complete Save Edition.
Cat's Eye for the DVD Season 2.
Death Note, DVD Set 1.
Hidamari Sketch by Hoshi... Hidamari Sketch Hoshimitsu... Season 3, Blu-ray Complete Collection.
Mm. High School of the Dead, Collector's Edition, DVD and Blu-ray Complete Collection, TV plus OVA.
And that series is never going to finish because you know how it works. Anyways, Duel BEM, Hunter Line DVD.
Natsuyuki Rendezvous, Blu-ray Completed Collection.
Nurse Me, DVD, porno.
Nyaruko, Crawling with Love, Season 2.
Sibling Secret, DVD. Yeah.
Space Pirate Mito, DVD Complete Collection.
And there's also one called Space Pirate Sarah. Toriko, DVD Collection 2.
Indeed. And for the manga releases, Alice in the Country of Joker, Knight's Knowledge, Volume 3.
All You Need Is Kill, Omnibus. Interesting.
Attack on Titan, Volume 14. Oh dear, that's out. I've got some manga buying to do this weekend.
Wait, it's out now. Okay. Attack on Titan, the spin-off volume collection box set. Dang.
Indeed. Black Rose Alice, Volume 2.
Bleach, Volume 62.
Blue Exorcist, Volume 12.
Claymore, Volume 25.
The Greyman, Volumes 13 to 15. Omnibus.
Dengeki Daisy, Volume 15.
Where'd it go? Hello Kitty, Volume 5.
The Heroic Legend of Arslan, Volume 2.
High School Debut, Volumes 13 through 15 Omnibus.
Kiss of the Rose Princess, Volume 1.
LBX GN1 and GN2.
The Lucifer and Biscuit Hammer, Volumes 1 and 2.
Oh, interesting. I read that one, but then I stopped.
What is that?
It's an interesting series.
I see.
I don't know. This is one of those ones where I'm like, I am tempted to buy it because I read it and I know what it is. But then at the same time, I was like, I stopped reading it at a certain point for a reason because it was
This is on Crunchyroll manga, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's not where I read it.
I saw the cover, that's why.
I should probably read it on Crunchyroll again and then decide if buying it is worth it. But what I will buy is Nisekoi, False Love, Volume 6.
One Piece. Box set 2 containing volumes 24 through 46. Whoa.
Yes indeed. It's good value. Phantom Thief Jean, Volume 5.
Pokemon Adventures, Black and White, Volume 5.
Pokemon Adventures Fire Red and Leaf Green, Volume 5.
Sacred Blacksmith, Volume 6.
Skip Beat, Omnibus, Volumes 25 through 27.
Spell of Desire, Volume 2. Bandai.
Tagami Bachi, Letter B, Volume 17.
Trigun Maximum, Omnibus, Volume 5.
Ultimo, Volume 10.
You know, I haven't read that series since they, you know, put a whole thing on you can't read this online unless you actually buy the volume.
Yeah, I haven't done that either yet myself.
See, that's how you're not gonna get much publicity if you do that. I mean, I understand piracy is bad, but at the same time, It's not in that kind of sense. It's just that, you know, in some of these series, I don't know what's going on in Ultimo. How did it get the volume? I heard it's ending. That's the thing. But yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, moving on. Vampire Knight Volume Box Set 2, Volumes 11 through 19.
Not as big a box set. What did you eat yesterday? Volume 5.
I'm not telling you. Anyways, Zero Familiar Chevalier, Volume 3.
Chevalier is the correct pronunciation.
Oh, screw your French.
Hey, you asked, jackass. Other releases: Harvest Moon 3D, The Lost Valley, Nintendo 3DS game.
And The Sky, The Art of Final Fantasy, Book 2, hardcover.
Cool. Yeah, I look at the anytime a 3DS games comes out, and I'm like, I should buy that, but then I'm like, it's freaking Harvest Moon. You're not buying it.
You know what you should get for a 3DS game if you never played it?
What?
Majora's Mask for the 3DS.
I have heard that that is a thing.
I'm wondering why. Well, I mean, I understand why they want to put it for 3DS, because Ocarina of Time and it were pretty much both on the same console, and thus putting on the same future handheld console makes sense. But why can't it have been on a home console like it should have been? But yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm currently playing One Piece. What was it?
Unlimited Red World.
That's the one, yeah.
Something else. Of course.
The first real fight that you have is against the freaking dragon. It's kind of awesome.
Oh, wow. Did you eat the dragon afterwards?
No, it disappeared.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like Luffy's going to start getting... In video game, Luffy's going to start getting trust issues. Yeah. All right, we've got one other bit of news. Slow news week.
Well, aside from all these Naruto news, I decided not going through that because I want to save that for next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it ends. Right. Officially. Okay. Anyway, so this pretty big news. Attack on Titan gets a crossover with Marvel Comics.
Yes. And which character do we see in the promotional art?
Which one? Do you mean Attack on Titan? Do you mean Marvel?
Which one do you think?
Spider-Man.
Yep. That is, they saw a low-hanging fruit, and they took it. More like Marvel was like, hey, this thing is very similar to our thing, but then again, we're not going to complain because DC has a character that's a complete, absolute, blatant ripoff of one of Spider-Man, but it's a villain. But then again, we won't complain about that either because we have characters that are complete, blatant ripoffs of their characters, so Yeah.
Let's just be friends and make a crossover.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do a cro yeah, if you're gonna do a crossover with an American comic book and a manga, I can't think of any series more perfect than Attack on Titan and Spider-Man. Because I mean, come on, the Spider-Man comparisons have been made by everyone with the 3D maneuver gear.
Yep.
And so,
And
yeah.
besides, in the case of called in the case of called Dungeon of Marvel, if it were to follow DC, which Shueisha could work because people are saying the whole Goku Superman thing. Wouldn't it be nice if they worked together to save the world instead of fighting each other all the time?
Would be quite enjoyable, I
I would like
suppose.
that instead.
Yeah. But yeah, this is
But
true.
this actually fits because Spider-Man is an iconic figure in the Marvel comics, and Attack on Titan, of course, has its whole popularity going and stuff.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to see more crossover between American comics and Western, and sorry, American comics and Western comics. No, I mean American comics and manga. It would be, yeah, I would actually, no, even not even that. Between European comics, Korean comics, Japanese comics, and American comics. Just bun random crossovers with everyone. Although I don't recall if there are
Can't.
any Korean comics that have any iconic characters in them. Obviously not, because they're not
I'm
worldwide
sure.
known.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, I'm sure there are. It's just that, like you said, it's not worldwide known because when it comes to Korean comics, they tend to focus more on web comics
Or just stuff that's a little more realistic, kind of
because
depicting
they want to
stuff.
move out. They want to move out the whole. They want to move out the Japanese type of way because it'd be too obvious. Oh, look, they're calling Japanese and. Then they're in. Then they're somewhat in. Then they're somewhat so-called insignificant dislike of Japanese.
Well, yeah, but that's not the point. The point being, I would love to see some other crossovers. Some would work, some would not work so much. Oh, what was it? I would love to see like a crossover between, let's say, for example, Tracy Morgan, MD, and Naoki
Ah,
Urasawa's Monster. That
interesting.
would be amusing. Or let's say Batman and what would be a good crossover? Everything would be a good crossover with Batman. Any series that has a villain that needs beating, crossover with Batman. Oh
No,
yes.
but it's more like a character that's similar to Batman.
Yeah, something or not necessarily a character that's similar to Batman, or rather a setting or scenario that Batman would fit inside, because Spider-Man fits into the Attack on Titan scenario very well. But if we were to say, for example, maybe Bleach? Not as perfect, but it could be done.
Could Batman even beat up Spirit Folk?
He'd find a way. He's like, I
Oh,
see
my.
there's a, I see you need a Zanpakuto to fight these people. Okay, here. He's like, I now have a Zanpakuto Batarang. It shoots all of the Batarangs. He's like, you suck.
Bunkai.
Batman fits in everything.
Oh, yes, he does.
He even would fit in One Piece, mostly because he would stand out there in the middle of the boat with the grim expression, hating life with everything that happens. He'd be like,
He wouldn't need a devil fruit, period. I mean,
well, yeah.
One Piece has shown that the best some of the best characters don't even need devil fruits to be badass.
Yeah, pretty much. He would enter the world, and his strength and power would be would become superhuman in response to what world he is
I could
in.
probably see him having observation hockey at the very
Well,
least.
obviously. And of course, Conqueror's Haki, because he's intimidating as hell.
That is true. So,
But
in Batman hockey is already, it's almost close to giving him a devil fruit.
I don't wear hockey pads. I saw it and I had to take it.
yes. So,
All right, speaking of One Piece, is that all the news?
Yeah, that's actually all the news.
Okay, let's talk about One Piece. It's time for the manga review for this week. We are talking about One Piece Volume 54 and 55, namely the break-in to Impel Down and then the attempt to break out of Impel Down.
They break in, they break out. Well, Luffy breaks in and he breaks out.
Yep. To start with Volume 54, I just want to point out that there is... we, of course, get to see where all the other members of the Straw Hats are after we get to see how Hancock is still a massive jerk when it comes to cute animals. But I do also want to say that in the spirit of, hey, I never noticed this the first time I read it, if you look back in the previous volume and you see, with the part right after she kicked the cat, if you look in the back of the run of the panel after she's kicked the cute animals, there's always somebody that comes and picks up the animals and apologizes. And then you see see her holding the animals, and they are furious. It's like they're just growling at her. And that makes it a little bit better, because the whole attractive woman kicking a bunch of cute, adorable animals does not make the woman look good. But when you then take those cute animals looking like absolute hellspawn trying to attack her, that makes it actually kind of hilarious. Also, I just want to point out that as I was rereading this part, as she was getting onto the ship with Luffy hidden underneath her cloak, I want to say I was like, oh yeah, I remember that one scene where he starts slipping down and she's like, Luffy, you've got to readjust yourself. You're going to fall off. And then he pulls himself back up, her body, and she makes this noise. And it's like, yes, that will be an amusing scene. And then I reread the manga, it's like, that didn't happen. Oh, anime, you horny sons of bitches.
Yes,
what is wrong with you people? What was wrong with me? That's what I remembered.
That's what I thought that too, but that's because that's before the official versions came out.
Yeah, well, anyway, so then after that we get to see where everyone is, and I do have to say that this, the reveal of where Sanji is was just as absolutely hilarious as the reveal of what Duval looked like.
Oh, yeah.
I was in hysterics. When it turns that Sanji is on the second island of women, and he's...
Legendary!
He's writing a letter to Nami and Robin in his head. It's like, dear Nami and Robin, how are things with you? It's like, right now, I'm in hell. And it's all a bunch of transvestites. And... yeah, I have to say, on the one hand, this is absolutely hilarious because Sanji's just absolutely terrified and he deserves it.
It'll make him stronger, don't worry. Yeah.
But then at the same time, I'm like, Oda, are you actually legitimately afraid of transvestites? That's kind of, that is so non-PC. No, but moving on, let's see, after that. Then we've got Luffy, and oh hey, we get to see Buggy and his crew again. Well, not Buggy, but we see his crew, and we see Alvida again for the first time in years. Which, yeah, that's kind of... remember how at one point she was like, I'm in love with Luffy because he is strong and he hit me, so therefore I will make him mine. But then after that, that never comes up again, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Who?
Alvida.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of like what Hancock is, except less sympathetic.
And so, when the lust, the so-called crush or whatever, is just gone.
Yeah.
And we were, oh, wait, she had that thing for him, and then she just didn't.
Yeah,
and
then it's gone. Okay. But, yep. Anyway, let's see. Yeah, let's move on. We get to see the prison, and it looks like a pretty awful place. Yeah, pretty awful. Oda knows how to make things terrible.
Well, it is a prison. You can't expect a jail to be all pretty and prissy.
Yeah, no, you can't. Also, we get it. Also, before that, we do get that good gag with after Luffy eats. He's like, ah, I'm stuffed. That was really good. And then everyone's like, wait, someone's in there. There's no, she said, I heard, ugh, I'm stuffed. She would never say something like that. And she comes out with, like, a mortified expression. Is like, ugh, I'm stuffed.
She said it!
She said it! And, yep, so, and then from there, we basically get to meet the staff members from Impel Down. Luffy, Hancock, turns a guard into stone so Luffy can escape and make his way through the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep. And then, yeah, so basically it's him discovering more parts of the, prison while he runs into Buggy, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
And...
why did he get captured anyway?
Let's see. Does it mention it in here?
I mean, okay, seriously, the last time we kind of saw him, I think... or was that an anime thing? He was partying with Ace.
Last time we saw him, he was partying with Ace.
That was a covered chapter. Sorry, covered.
In the anime, it mentioned of in the anime version of this, it does tell us how he got caught, but yeah, I don't think
we he got caught
here. Yeah, and so. Yeah, so they basically work together, and Buggy actually, Buggy actually fights pretty well, except it, doesn't do him any good, because they're all, the Blugori, which are basically these giant gorilla wardens that are too powerful for him, and then turns out that Buggy has gotten significantly more powerful because he beats them all up easily. And so, and then Buggy realizes that Luffy has this marker for a prison, and he says, "Hey, if you give me for a treasure, and hey, if you give me this, I'll help you get down there." But then he's like, "Ah, I'm gonna leave you." But then they end up going all the way into the level one Crimson Hell, which is basically, it's a forest of needles. But Buggy can get them through because, as long as his feet are on the ground, the rest of him can fly. And so his feet can go through this place because it can just split itself whenever it comes to something, into contact with something sharp. And then Luffy jumps to the second level. Buggy's gonna leave him, but he gets knocked down. And in the second level, we discover Mr. Three! So it's like a giant reunion.
in a way.
Mm-hmm. And we discover that the next second level is the Beast Hell, where the first thing they run into is a basilisk, which is basically, in Oda's terms, looks like a giant chicken from hell.
Yeah!
Which it looks goofy and terrifying at the same time. I don't know how he does that.
Almost reminds me. I think it's a basilisk. But then when you look at it, it's like chicken from hell, like cockatrice, isn't it?
Yep. And then we get to meet the get to meet the warden Magellan, who has eaten the venom fruit. So he's a I don't think they don't mention whether he's a Logia. I mean, he can come apart like a Logia. I think that there was something that says that he's not actually. I don't know, but yeah.
Somewhere says it, but at some point it does say he's not really a Logia. That's the thing. It's like, wait, what? And then we'll see his power from actually very soon.
Yeah, it is like, sorry, I had diarrhea. I got food poisoning from my poison soup this morning. I think you got poisoned because it was poison. It's like you say, fight poison was poison. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's why you get diarrhea.
No wonder he's always in the bathroom for 10 hours. Oh my goodness. Or something.
Yep. And he's basically goofy, but yeah. Then they keep moving and let's see. Yep. So then Mr. Three notices them and let's see.
It's a lot to happen. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to focus, but yeah, we get to see Jinbei's silhouette for the first time, and he's tied up with Ace, and then we get Jinbei, the first son of the sea, a whale shark fishman, one of the seven warlords of the sea who protested against the execution of
And
Ace.
then we remember the name Jinbei for Doberman from volume, was it 8 or 9?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see that? You saw that? You saw
There he
it.
be. We get to meet him for the first time, which is good because we've been hearing about Fishman Island for so long. We're taking a detour from there. But
Yes.
yeah. So we've got. Yeah. We get to see Jinbei for the first time. We discover that, he wants to stop the war because he's indebted to Whitebeard, because Whitebeard is basically the one that protected Fishman Island. In a time when pirates kept going through there and kidnapping mermaids and white fishermen and selling them to slaves as slaves. And
And that's a
then.
weird thing because the Fishman Island is supposed to be under the sea. So how?
Yeah, well, we you
Oh, of
you
course
know.
they yeah technology
Yeah,
technology.
they've got the coding, that's how they get down there.
Right.
But yeah, and then we discover that there's someone else. We've got someone with a hook for a hand and a scar across his face is down there as well.
My goodness, who could that be? Obviously, we know them.
Yeah. And then. Yep. And then you've got Luffy and Buggy and Mr. Three running away from all these different weird. Yeah.
Sphinx.
Yeah. All these different monsters. And yeah, one of them, the Sphinx.
Ramen. 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 What are these food
Yeah.
Munoshi.
Yeah. And then they break through the ground and let's see.
Oh no, that was an answer with the underwear one. But yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so it turns out that a bunch of other prisoners have gotten away and are rampaging, and now they've discovered that Luffy is there, so now. You gotta love how like Sengoku's like, oh no, this if this our prison is like, the first person to break in and ruin its reputation is your grandson, Garp. Garp is like, I'm so proud of that boy. Yep.
Oh man.
I just love this. It's like, if you weren't called the Davies Hero, I'd make you pay for the sins of your entire family, Garp. And Garp's like, this old man's life isn't worth nearly enough to pay for a fiasco like this. I just love Garp. Oh man, it's moments like this that just you're just like, Garp is fantastic. And yep. So next thing we see, they go to. Yep, we go to level 3, which is the starvation hell, which is no food, no water, and it's way hot. And so yeah, because they're though it's being heated from the Inferno hell on the floor below.
Well, it's like this. There's barely any food, barely any water, the bare minimum to have them somehow survive, at least keep, but still keep them on starvation. And yet it's really hot. So all I think about when I read this again, because it's been years since I've last read this, I go, how the heck are they not dehydrating to death?
Yeah, that is kind of weird, but they get
Okay.
caught, but they still manage to escape because of the Sphinx is with them and wakes up. And then let's see, Luffy. Let's see, and then Luffy. Let's see, what was it? Okay, yeah, and then they.
Eventually, they run the bone clay.
Yep, that does. Yeah, that yes, that does happen.
Yes.
Next, and we also get to meet another character, Sadie, the chief security chief of Impel Down, and she basically dresses like a dominatrix, which is interesting. I'm like, Oda. But yeah,
Well, that's not you, sir.
she's in charge of the Awakened Zone, Devil Fruits. And then we've got the seat, and then we get, and then Hancock goes to meet Ace because that was her cover story. And yep. And then let's see. And then we also get to see what Magellan looks like when he releases his power and he uses it on the criminals in the Yeah. Yeah, in the lowest level. And so he's like, hey, I have the power to execute all of you right here and now.
Did you pay attention to when he used his powers? Like, did he actually like go into like a poison form, or did he just like poison spew out from
It's
him?
like there's poison coming off of him.
But he still retains his form, right?
Yeah,
So
he
see,
retains his
he's not
form, but
Logio.
it's like a melty form, you know?
But he's still not Logio, though.
Yeah.
That's from the looks of it.
But
Because
yeah,
if it
and
was
then.
Logio, he'd be all poisoned for sure.
Yeah, well, we'll have to pay attention as we go along. But
Probably.
yeah, and then it turns out that who else does Luffy run into but Zoro? But then, and so at the time we were like, dude, what? But then it turns out that it's actually Bon Clay.
Course.
And so yeah, Luffy is like, that's just funny because you're not Zoro, but you're alive. And then, yep, then they beat up the Sphinx and keep on moving together. And let's see what happens from there. Oh yeah, we're gonna introduce to the Minotaur, which is looks like a giant human cow, but with like the kind of cow that you'd see on like a chocolate bar wrapper. Not like a proper Minotaur. So
You mean the kind you see on the milk carton?
yeah, so it's yeah. So it's dangerous still, but it's just like older to just draw something that looks absolutely ridiculous and still make it dangerous. And yep, they move on and they go to the fourth level. And then yeah, in the Infernal Hell. And they manage to defeat it and everyone is happy. All right, so what do we think of this volume? I mean, it is kind of hard to go through because there is a lot that happens.
Yeah, there's a lot. Okay, you've got to mention that the Bon Clay joined Luffy to help save Ace, but at the same time he also wants to save someone else important to him, and it's
True.
someone that goes by the name of Iva-chan. We're gonna find
Yes.
out who this is because since Bon wants to also go with Luffy to the same place where so-called Iva-chan is.
This is true, yes. Yes, true. Indeed. Yeah, it's, oh man, it's just like this story is just so dense and there's just
This arc
so,
is so dense.
yeah, it's like there's so much happening because Luffy is constantly on the move. There is no, let us take a moment to relax and, just talk or whatnot. No, it's everything. It just is
They're talking while
constant.
moving.
Yeah, there's just like constant action and it made it fantastic to read on a week-by-week basis because so much happened each chapter. But when you're trying to review it volume by volume, it's just, too
Yeah, this
much.
thing actually does the ironic part of where, the other vol where the other arcs was just reading volume by volume was better, but this one's like, oh my goodness, I can't figure out what's going on in here still.
It's a little busy, yes.
Very, very.
It's incredibly busy. All right, let's see. Yeah, but still, it is really fantastic. It's very action-packed, very, there's no slow moments. And so, let's
Because
move
it's a
on.
rescue, you can't take a break.
Yep, let's move on to One Piece Volume 55. All right, this one. What?
So somehow they make it through they went to level 4, right? Or they're about to enter level 4 or something, I forget.
Yeah.
I think so. They're about to enter level 4.
Yeah.
They managed to get through this so-called, survive this pond of blood or something that if anybody fell, then they'd be pretty much be dead.
Yep.
But they.
We also discover that Daz Bones, aka Mr. One, is in there as well. So it's like all these old villains popping up
At the time,
everywhere.
we're all like, wait a second. Is he going to join too?
Yeah, you're just like, what? But. Yep. And yeah, so they get through, yeah, they start going through level 4, and then they run into Magellan for the first time. And he's pretty intimidating. Mostly because, yeah, let's see, Venom Fruit. Luffy's going to fight him, but, well, it does no good because they're like, we can't touch him, he's made of poison. And let's see what happens after that. And see, yeah, I believe, yeah, the best Luffy can do is try and protect himself, but, yeah, doesn't do him much good. He gets covered in poison.
Yeah, he tries to punch him anyway, but it doesn't work much.
Yeah.
I mean, it does work, but he gets poisoned anyway.
Mm-hmm, yep, and he has to... Yeah, he gets completely destroyed. So they... See, we move on to the... let's see, the next level, which is level 5, the Frozen Hell. And that is... Yeah, Bon Clay has got Mr. Three and Buggy, and he's like, okay, we have to go save Luffy, so there's this Queen Eva, the miracle worker, that they need to find him so that they can save Luffy, and they go into the Frozen Hell into a secret spot. Well, first they free Luffy from the jail, and then they go deep into the hidden parts of the frozen spot and get attacked by wolves, and then they are saved by a person that is two different shades on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Which is curious. And then we meet the new Kama, which is basically just one big party room.
New Kamalan.
Yep.
Yeah. When this part of the arc happened, I was like, "Oh my goodness, we're finally out of prison, right?" And they're like, "Nope, you're still in prison." Ah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's filled with, men, women, and transvestites. All of mm-hmm. them, absolutely weird.
It matters not if they're men or women; they are still men and women, but not men and women. I don't understand myself.
Yeah, and we meet Eva Emporio Ivankov, who. Looks exactly like a
Dr. Frankfurter.
Yep, from Rocky Horror. It's uncanny almost, and it's kind of hilarious.
Totally.
Yeah, except with a giant head, and it turns out that he, but that will change later because he has the ability to. He has the power of estrogen and can turn men into women and women into men. Which,
and we saw that demonstrate on this one guy. Like, whoa!
Tried to kill him because, like, he turned my dad into a woman. Our family fell apart, and I'm like, you know, dude has a bit of a legitimate gripe there.
Yeah, that's true.
But nonetheless, no luck. Now he is a woman. But yeah, so Emporio uses Ivankov uses the Emporio healing hormone on Luffy. And is like, okay, you know what, this is going to shave several years off his life, but it may save him still.
By a tiny bit.
Yeah. And so they're like, this is going to take a while. And so while we're waiting on that, we'll have a small break. You know, the first, let's calm down moment in forever, and we're going to talk about, like, level 6 and who's down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then turns out that... Luffy is now awake and needs food. And I remember that at the time that this came out, this chapter did, there was, it was around April Fool's. It was like this came out right before the 1st of April. So on April 1st, it was, one of the former members of the forum that we were on, Al, or some other person... I can't remember who it was exactly, but they released that those fake spoilers, managed to find an artist that could copy Oda's style very well and then photoshopped it to make it look like some of those crappy spoilers that were taken with a camera, and it showed Luffy disguised as a guard, but he was a woman.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And everyone freaked out because, but you know, we were just like, it would make so much sense. And it was like the most brilliant April Fools ever, and it turned out not to be true. But at the same time, everyone's just like, "Oh my gosh, this makes sense. This is perfect." But yeah. Anyway, moving on to the next chapter. It turns out that Luffy is still a man, and he is eating all of the food. And now after his body was all wasted away, now that he's eating all the food.
Yeah, it did kind of show a bit of how far I was like, "Ooh."
Yep. And yeah, he's just like, eating everything up. And yeah, so They're all better now, and we discover that Ivankov is actually a member of the revolutionaries and a friend of dragons, and so he is, you know, yeah, like at one point, yeah, at one point he's talking about, yeah, it's like, oh, the master, like, the world is being shaped by forces like the Navy and the Whitebeard Pirates, and then there's the mastermind of revolutionaries all around the world, my comrade dragon, and Luffy's like, oh, you mean my dad?
And then he's going.
Yeah, it's like, that's right, when your dad mobilizes his army, I will escape to the outside and throw myself into the affairs of the world once again. If I escape now, I'd just want be a wanted fugitive again. And then there's like, your dad? There was like, his dad? And it's like, don't talk crazy, your dragon's son? He has a son? It's like, oh, I guess I wasn't supposed to say that. Anyway, that's what Grandpa said. And then, yeah, it's like, I don't know what much about him. I don't even know what he looks like. And like, oh, Luffy, you know what he looks like. A little bit. That, yeah, and then it's like, Ivankov is like, he may be telling the truth. He's like, where are you from? Is like, East Blue. And then,
your little flashback.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, do you like, it's like, you always stare off in that direction whenever you walk out here. Is like, I do? Huh, didn't realize that. It's like a homing instinct of an animal. Does your homeland lie in that direction? Do you have family in the Eastern Sea? Well, and then it turns out, he's like, oh, wow, it really possibly is. And then, yep, he gives Luffy energy hormone. And they, yeah, they break out and they raise hell. And it's, yeah, and then they start moving Ace, and Luffy is going through and gets through to the cell, and he realizes, oh, wait, Ace is gone. Crap. And then he comes across Jinbei. And, yeah, they decide to, they're about to use the elevator, but nope, elevator's broken. And then they're trapped in the sixth level.
Ah.
And let's see, yeah. And they basically, Jinbei's like, oh, you can still save him. But they end up, let's see. Sorry, I'm just kind of, yeah, so Luffy basically decides that he needs to go to the Navy headquarters.
Marine board.
And, yep. And then we discover that Crocodile is still alive and there, which of course we knew that, but
of course he's still alive.
Yeah, I love that. It's like, Luffy's like, oh, you're the one who, you know, he's all, oh, hey, I don't want to miss this war with my powers. I can get you out of here. It's a good deal for you and me. And he's like, yeah, forget it. You're the one who messed up Vivi's country. And he's like, ah, it's water under the bridge. I've got no interest there.
And like, I give up on that. I don't care about that anymore.
Oh, Crocodile, you suave son of a bitch. And, yeah, so Ivankov is like, ah, let's, yeah, well, you know what, let him free. He may be of use to us. And then, yeah. And then, yeah, and apparently Ivankov is like, it's as if he tries anything funny, I know, I'll fix him. I know his weakness. If you're a good boy and keep us and help us, I'll keep quiet about it. Wahoo. And apparently it's something serious because Crocodile looks kind of pissed. So it's like, is he talking about the fact that he knows that if you get Crocodile wet, he will turn solid or what? But yeah, and then all these other criminals are like, hey, bust me out, I hate Whitebeard too. And they're like, no, that's not the point. we're not here to kill Whitebeard. And then Jinbei asks them to take him with them, and, you know, he explains how the reason that he was thrown in there was because he opposed the war and he wants to save Ace. And then, yep, they decide to go to take him with them. And so we end up with two powerful allies.
A former Shichibukai and a Shichibukai still at the time.
Mm-hmm. At the time, not for much
longer. At the time.
Yep. And then, yeah, so they make their way. So, yeah, they escape via the use of, what's-his-face's scissor abilities, which allow him to cut Inazuma's scissor abilities, which allow him to cut things up and as if they were paper and pose them. And so, yeah. So they get they get all the new comma together, and they work, and yeah, they basically all work together to break their way through, and yep. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. All these really powerful guys showing off all their powerful abilities, and then you've got Buggy and Mr. Three that are freeing people on the other levels. On what is it?
Because the plan is to cause an uproar so they can all escape at the same. So those two can just escape. Then we give up the other.
Yep, and we also see that, and we also got Crocodile that breaks Mr. One out, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'll come. I was getting bored here." And then and Luffy's like, wait, who's he? I was like, oh, that's the guy that Zoro defeated. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, what do.
Yep, and then yeah. We basically end with everyone on a rampage and trying to escape, and it's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. That was volume 55. Yes.
So, this was better than Prison Break, I mean.
Yeah, well.
I remember Prison Break. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, this one was, the thing with this volume is that this one was the one where things really got crazy because, one, we were given a chance to just, you know, take a breather, and two, we were also given the opportunity to, to meet up with some characters that we really wanted to, you know, that we didn't realize at the time that we wanted to see them again, because normally characters don't come back like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we, turns out we really did want to see that. So we were, quite overjoyed at the time when they saw them. And now, having read it again, I have to say it is a lot of fun, you know, just seeing all these characters working together again.
I do like it. I don't hate it, but I still had to put a whole world for like the most to the one I hated. And this will still be on the hate list just because it was just so much to take in, and it's just, let's just say for me, this arc, well, it's not over yet because it's about to be over. I think the next two or next volume.
Right.
This arc to me, I hate reviewing this because it's just so much to go through. I mean, there's those little bits, like, I just want to go through, but we can't go through those because
it's too much.
It's just too much. Even though those little bits do count. They do count in some ways.
Well, it's actually fortuitous that we decided to go from three volumes to two volumes because, we're coming into the part where there's just too much material for us to be able to get through three volumes and still be sane.
Yeah, just wait until we get to the next arc. Oh, boy. I don't know if I'll still be sane after that one.
Yeah, no kidding. Yep, well, this... And I think that's about it. So, yep, for next week, we will... Here's what we're looking at. I'm thinking, if it's released, and Amazon says it is, but then again, I didn't see it anywhere else, so I'll have to see if Barnes & Noble has it or what. But looking at Ranma 1/2 Volume Omnibus 5... as well as Nisekoi Volume 6, and it would appear another Volume 14 of Attack on Titan as another possibility. So I'll have to see what I can find. I'll let you know which
one. But you said Rama 1/2 Volume what?
It's the Omnibus? Fifth Omnibus. So okay, that would be Volumes 9 and 10. I'm going to have to go to Barnes & Noble and see what I'm able to find because the release dates can be a little different from what I originally had.
Nisekoi, what?
6.
6. Yeah. And Attack on Titan, Volume 14. Yeah. I'm making up this right now.
And so it's going to depend on what's in the store when I go there to pick them up. But I don't think we'll do all of those together.
No, we can't.
Most likely it'll be Ranma 1/2 and Nisekoi.
Yeah.
Attack on Titan, we may, you know, take a break from that or just deal with that at a later date. I still have a couple volumes that I actually need to read through.
I think he's really helped.
But yeah. Anyway, I think that's about that. So yeah, and then after that, The following, yeah, so that will be, that's those are the releases for this week that we will review next week, and then after that, next week, Seven Deadly Sins Volume 5 should come out, and we'll go over that one. Mm-hmm. The following week after that, we may do some more One Piece, because I don't think we have a release until the 25th when a new Fairy Tail comes out. And so, and then after that, we'll kind of have to see, play it by ear, with what we do, with what we review next. So at some point we are, once we get through One Piece, we are going to want to start a new review of some stuff that we haven't gone over yet.
Oh yeah, so much.
We've got a lot of stuff that we could go over, and there's a lot of stuff that we've been going over that it is getting a little tedious, you know, going over the same stuff constantly. But mostly that's because we keep going over coming back to One Piece, because there's still so much to go through. But for now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get on with the next segment. It's time for the manga commentary, for starting with Weekly Shonen Jump, issue number 49. And on the cover, we have a great announcement. Well, not an announcement, but we get to see the cast of, or at least some of the cast of Food Wars on the Weekly Shonen Jump cover, along with a congrats on the anime. So yes, Shokugeki no Soma Food Wars is now part of the lineup. So now we get to talk about it without having.
Sasha's class won't be too far long at some point. I'll bet you that.
Hopefully, yeah. But at least with this, now we're able to talk about this much sooner than we would have if we waited for the scanlations. And it also makes more consistent.
It also shows that Shonen Jump can change their mind about something they said that's not going to happen, and it will happen.
Indeed. So,
although, as I did say before, I do feel a bit sad, because now it's going to be in the eyes of the public, and you know, the actual public. So,
I doubt that there's going to be less fan service because of it, and I don't really care. But,
well, at the same time, because of that, we
With this, we also begin. And fortunately for everyone, this is going to be chapter 93, which is picking up immediately where we left off with the chapter last week. So,
unfortunately, that's pretty. I don't know.
I said fortunately.
Oh, fortunately. Okay.
Yeah. So, yep. We also get to see a screen cap, or at least a sample of the art that will be of the anime's art, so curious to see that. But let's get into the actual chapter, which, yeah, the chairman decides, you know what, okay, yeah, the finals will be a three-way battle, and you see the two of the contestants in the foreground, and then just randomly in the background, you've got, like, just Soma's being pointed out in the crowd. And, yeah. So you got we get the reveal of what the ingredient is going to be, and it's mackerel pike, which is a fish. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. We basically kind of just, you know, get everyone just doing their thing. You got Rio being all, next time you're mine, and then Alice pulls his bandana off, and he's like, okay, see ya. So, now, I do like that gag where he's like crazy intense whenever he's wearing his, you know, he's in a competition and wearing his competition bandana, but the moment you take it off, he's just like, okay, whatever, see ya. And yep, we also get to see that Hayama is actually really pissed off.
In his own way.
Yep. He's not raging, but he's simmering, shall we
say.
It's a
quiet rage.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, and he's... it's kind of a fun little scene. It's like this, I don't know, just some lady that's, I guess, is like in the administrative department or something. She's just walking by, looks up, notices him, starts to blush, and then just freaks out when she sees how angry he actually is, which I thought was kind of amusing. And then you've got Soma and Megumi are going to go to the market, and they're going to go try out some different types of pike.
Maybe they'll meet Saitama there. I'm kidding. It'd be so awesome if there was a crossover like that. Just one crossover like that would be awesome.
I highly doubt that will happen. But that
I know, cool. I know. They actually live in different worlds. Because, you know, there's A city, B city, C city, B
there's
city.
Monsters.
I forgot about the monsters part, but yeah, there's A city, B city, B city, plus city, X city.
That's enough. So what did you think of this chapter, the first time that we get to see it in the official magazine?
Well, it's a nice way to introduce. Well, it's a good thing that they start with this one, that they introduce it with this one, because it wraps up the current arc that, the current battle, not the arc, sorry, the battle that was going on, so it doesn't get the readers go, wait, what's going on? That we jump into the middle of a battle, and I don't want them like doing that.
True, that was good timing. Though I do imagine that there will be a lot of people that are just, wait, I don't know what's going on because they haven't been following the scanlations like good people are supposed to. But I kind of, it does kind of feel like there is a certain, there's a certain sense of, alright, whatever, we know you've read the scanlations, here, just read it in here instead, which for people that haven't read the series before is kind of like, kind of no good. But
you know, they kind of did that to us with Yu-Gi-Oh! Zeal, remember?
Yeah, so...
So I think it's actually there.
Well, but yeah, we know, but at the same time, we know what it feels like to be dropped in a series and not have an idea of what's going on. So, yeah, the difference being this is something I'm actually interested in and would probably go back and catch up on. Yu-Gi-Oh! That's not the case.
I think it's because where the current summer volumes are where they are at now, and I guess they can't really just, you know, they can't just read the Japanese ones and speed it up as fast enough to actually catch up with the English ones. Because like, oh, we want the English ones, we can't read ahead. Like, we could read ahead and let them know, but then they'll know that we were reading ahead on something that wasn't English yet, and then we'll be looked like total fools.
Yeah, well.
That's pretty funny. That's why I work with Hunter x Hunter, because the volumes are already out to a certain point. I mean, thanks to Togashi's incredibly hiatus. He's probably playing Dragon Quest or something, Dragon Warrior. I think that new Dragon game coming out or something right now.
Well, anyway, let's move on to Naruto chapter 698. And we're going to keep this brief. They have their big final clash, and then they wake up losing blood, unable to move, and they have a talk where Naruto is basically, hey, you're my friend. I feel bad when you're in pain. And Sasuke's like, what? This changes everything.
Oh my god, he is so stupid.
He is stupid, and the person responsible for him is... But yeah, basically we have a bit of a flashback where he admits, I too feel pain, felt pain when you were in pain because we were so alike. But you end with Sasuke saying, I've lost. And I would almost be tricked into believing that he is, you know, believing his redemption. If it weren't for the fact that this has been an absolute garbage manga for decades now. Well, not decades, but close to 2 decades.
Yeah.
And honestly, it kind of just what it comes down to is I absolutely despise everything that I've read in this series, and now even the good stuff that I enjoyed is being tainted by the fact that I am absolutely furious at this series for being such a giant piece of shit. But we do find out that they've lost their arm. They've each lost an arm. So, that's actually kind of an interesting. What?
You can't shank it enough. I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, it's actually it's actually kind of an kind of a fun image to end the chapter on. But basically, they talk it through and they're like, oh, blah blah, we're not enemies anymore or whatnot. So, I mean, it's an okay chapter.
They slept through the night with their arms blown off. How did they not bleed to death?
Yeah, that's a good question. They should be dead by now. That would have been...
The chopper is gone, too. They should be bleeding to death.
Yeah, it'd be such a better series if it just ended with both of them dying. And I remember when Naruto said, my plan is I'm going to die with you. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But now I'm thinking, actually, that sounds like a good idea. Kill the
bastards.
I would have
been okay with that, to be honest. It would have been a great story. And then it just ends with, I guess, Konohamaru going, and that's the story of Naruto. That was such an amazing story. Wait, did they actually live? No, they're dead. Oh.
And never coming back. Ugh, jeez. Well, I really can't talk about this chapter because, I mean, because I couldn't wait, I know the spoilers of how everything ends. And so,
everyone knows how it ends. Yeah.
So we're going to wait until next episode where we will talk about it and say why everything that Kishimoto has done is wrong and why he couldn't even bother to give those of us that have put up with his bullshit for the past several years, he couldn't even bother to give us an actual good ending. So we'll get to that. For now, let's say fuck you, Naruto. We're talking about fucking World Trigger Chapter 81. Which is significantly better now that I think about it. And yeah, even though nothing really all that exciting happens, we just kind of get the cleanup from
clean up. I don't know how that song went.
Yeah, we get Arashiyama squad shows up and the sniper who is constantly going on about how he's so awesome and yet he gets the least focus in that squad actually does something really awesome by double sniping. It's kind of awesome actually. And we also get another squad, the Kako squad, which is an all-girl squad, which so far has only two members that we have seen. And it has Nozomi Kako, age 20, the captain, and Futaba Kurue, age 13, the attacker. Which, again, every time they show the names, I'm just like, wait, this is a military organization.
Every time I see the name Futaba, I always think of like a little girl because
she is 13 years old. That is a little girl.
But it's because every character I see that's named Futaba has been shown as a little girl.
It would be funny to finally see a character that's like 80 years old called Futaba.
I was Futaba 70 years ago, but you're still Futaba.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, it's like, yeah, every time we see the ages, we're reminded, this is an organization that uses child soldiers. Why is this okay? But
it's Japan.
Yeah, well, anyway, got some new characters, and you also see that there's one of them was left behind, and it turns out that there was actually the plan, the one that died and the one that was left behind, the neighbors actually kind of wanted to get rid of them.
Which wow. Like,
well, that's kind of awful of you, but okay. Let's see, we also find out that, there were zero civilian deaths, but there were several serious injuries and some minor injuries. Border Lost had 6 deaths, which were all operators in the communications center, which I do not recall when that happened.
Must have happened when the Anadora guy attacked.
Yeah, except it didn't. I guess people actually died. They didn't show anyone dying.
They lured him into the training. They lured him into the training facility.
But
so
before
that, obviously,
it happened before that. It just didn't make it very obvious. But yeah, you had four serious injuries, and 32 C rank trainees are missing. And then the neighbors, they had one death by a fellow neighbor, and then one of them has been captured. And that concludes the battle.
They won!
Yay!
You know, I clearly thought they were going to lose.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
It's just they lose and then they go and rescue. And then I guess Ashihara's like, you're going to expect me to do a rescue. No, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Well, guess.
Thank goodness. I'll pull him on that.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to see what happens, where this series goes next. But I think it's nice. It's a good time to be ended with that fight now so we can have something enjoyable next week. But
yes,
this chapter was, it was alright. I mean, we just kind of wrapped things up and I enjoyed it. So, don't really have anything that really stands out that's worth mentioning.
Like I said, this is the first battle that they actually won in the series. You know, first war.
Yeah.
And, I'm still wondering who take over these 6. They're probably going to go over the 6 people who died this next chapter and go, oh, these people, I don't know
probably.
Who these people are. Seem to care. Well, they served their work so hard. But I don't know who these people are. Why do I care about them? Why should I care about them?
Yeah, the one operator that we know that we actually care about, we do know she's still alive because we saw.
Oh yeah, she's on the Jin squad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, let's move on to One Punch Man, chapter 39.
Outlaws.
Yep. Where we get a, basically it is, yeah, basically we get to see that Genos wants to be, you know, upgraded by his, you know, by the professor that made him into a cyborg. And they talk about how we have to find that cyborg that killed his family and destroy it. And then we also find out that the Hero Association has gathered together a bunch of criminals and said, look, we, you know, there's a serious catastrophe coming and we need everyone we can get. So we'll pardon you guys if you help us out. And then you've got, what is it, Sonic shows up and is all, Saitama Hero, whatever, I'm not interested. I'm out of here. That was about it. So, indeed.
No, it is kind of funny how, the how you know, when the villains arrive and you know that some of them are like, why are we going to help you? I'm like, dude, if you don't help them, you know what happens? The entire world's destroyed. You're dead, too. No looting people, no killing people you want to kill because you're already dead.
You're dead. Da, 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 da.
You're all dead.
Woo! Anyway, let's move on to Bleach chapter 603, shall we?
Yeah.
This one is kind of gross because it involves what's his
face? Chapter title actually is very relevant.
Yeah, what the hell? Kubo, yeah, Kubo is a lot more yeah, he's a lot more observant than we give him credit for. But yeah, we get to see that, what's his face? Gizella, I guess, is trying to, is drinking blood from Bambietta and then ends up, you know, ends up killing her again and being all creepy about it. And I'm like, well, Kubo decided to, that's the thing that I like about this is it's creepy as hell, but at the same time, you know, Kubo is just doing whatever the freak he wants. You know, Naruto, the problem with Naruto and leading up to its ending is that it stuck to its plan despite the fact that its plan was a terrible plan. Literally everything about its plan was a terrible plan. Bleach, on the other hand, is just, you know what, I'll just do whatever the hell I want as long as I wrap things up, you know, the way they're supposed to be wrapped up, and whenever that happens, we'll probably be getting that soon. But, yeah. And so we also find out that there's another one of the Sternritter that's there, and he's freaking out because he knows they're going to die because the King Iwatch is going to drain their energy and absorb them back into themselves. And it looks like somebody forgot to mention a crucial, slightly crucial part of what was going on, because apparently the Sternritter are all very confused as to why they are now dying. And he's using his powers to bring his, yeah, he's just using his ability to bring back the people that, what's his face, already killed. And so
Oetsu.
Oetsu, yeah. So Squad Zero is in trouble.
Yeah, I thought much.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was, I have to say, as much as the whole biting and this drinking of blood and the bashing of her head against the ground was creepy as hell, at the same time, it is infinitely more interesting than anything Naruto has done. With Naruto, it's like, oh, look, they don't have the arms. Is this, are we seriously supposed to expect this is going to be permanent? Well, we've already seen the trailers for the movies. They have their arms. Or some variety of arm.
Yeah, good job, Japan, on showing us a trailer before the, even the, before the manga even ends. Yeah. Man, seriously, what? That's some advertising right there, really.
Yeah, it's like, this is very much a case of too, I mean, you know, Naruto is just too bland and boring. Bleach isn't necessarily a good manga, but it at least manages to do stuff that makes us go, what the hell? Which, yeah, how very appropriate. All right, let's talk about something that's actually good. Nisekoi, chapter 145. And it's the sports festival. Except it's a sports festival where apparently Shu is in charge of the of all the planning. Because crazy stuff starts happening. Well, to start, we've got Raku and Chitoge do really well in the three-legged race because they've been practicing, but then it turns out that they have to take a balloon, put it between their bodies, and then squeeze to make it pop. And everyone's like, wait, that wasn't part of the plan. And then you've got Onodera is doing the bread eating contest where you have to run, and then she's has to go kind of basically eat bread that's attached to a string, but it's being on like this thing that's being held by these guys that are making the bread bounce all over the place. So basically it's a bunch of girls with their hands tied behind their backs jumping up and down trying to get the bread, and all the guys are loving it. But yeah, and then you've got the, let's see, and then what's next? Oh yeah, you got to find out, you got Tsugumi on the cheer team wearing that typical bindings and the long jacket that you usually see in, you know, these kind of school cheer team thingies. But and of course the binding comes undone because that's, you know, that is the extent of her gag. Well, not really. There's more to Tsugumi's gags than that, but one of the main gags is the, hey, look, she's the one with the big breasts. Which, it gets a little too creepy to be properly funny, I have to say.
Well, what? What did I miss?
What'd you miss?
Sorry, something more.
Anyway, no, I was just talking about how Tsugumi's joke is she has big breasts.
Ah, yes.
And, but yeah, and, well, move on to Marika, who, gives Raku a different headband, which has I Love Marika on
Was the
it.
best part for
Yeah.
me.
And then, of course, Chitoga just beats him up. It's pretty hilarious. And,
Like, oh, is that a challenge?
yep, and then they do the scavenger hunt, and it's like, the thing that you have to find is that special someone. And, yeah, so Marika and Chitoga go after Raku, and they're both fighting over him, and he's like, which one should go? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Marika, could you give let Chitoga have this one? And poor Marika's all sad, but then she's like, oh right, yeah, their families are here. She's like, oh, okay, fine. And then you've got, yeah, so you've got all the other girls. Marika gets what's her face, Honda. Marika Tsugumi finds what's her name,
Paula.
Paula, yeah. And Paula's like, what's going on? And then, of course, Onodera is the one with the best out by she just goes and gets her sister. And he's like, so, what did their card say? He's like, oh, you want to know? Oh, he's like, by the way, Onodera and Tsugumi both looked at me when they drew their cards, too. What did they say? And so I was like, oh, dear.
And then
And,
she gets a knife in the forehead and a sandwich in the mouth.
yeah. He's like, so, what did yours say? It said sister. That was quite hilarious. I did enjoy that quite a bit. Yes, Nisekoi has been consistently fun. I mean, it doesn't have the greatest ongoing story of any manga, but it also manages to consistently be entertaining and interesting. So I really can't complain. What else can I ask for? Indeed. All right. Do you have anything you wanted to add?
Well, I'll be honest, this chapter was actually decent, okay for me. Probably because it was just focusing on all the girls and Raku at the same time, Shu being up to his usual. One of those little filler chapters that I hope actually has some sort of merit at some point. Plus, it's
Indeed.
another sports chapter, you know? I think we have one a while ago. That was in their freshman year, though.
True. But yeah, anyway, let's move on to Hi-Fi Cluster chapter six,
Chapter, yeah.
which basically is they fight the robots.
Heck, Okada Hi-Fi Cluster can boot up many labels at once.
And just beats them up, and yeah, so but it uses so much energy that that's why he's sleeping all the time.
Yeah.
So it was an all right chapter. It just wasn't very interesting, but
No.
we get a little bit of backstory, or implied backstory in chapter 7, which I guess we're getting two chapters each week.
Yeah, until we catch up. Just like what was it with Fluxus and something else? What was it over that?
Right, but yeah, so turns out that apparently Mr. was it Kandera?
Osaka Kandera.
Yeah. He's there's yeah, he's It has some kind of personal history in a event that happened with someone that just went into a crowd and started with labels and started killing people with two swords. And so he was in the SWAT team that responded to it. So we can assume that this is someone that would have, this is when he lost his arm. But it turns out that this person threatening to, you know, this person that's threatening to do the same thing is just a copycat. So Kandera goes in and is like, oh, I'm going to fight him.
Actually, what's funny about this person who's threatening with the, who has this, who also has a hi-fi cluster. Can you take a wild guess which hi-fi cluster this person has? The name looks familiar, but it's not. See, for me, because thanks to reading a certain other manga series, I was able to connect it to another type of name that's similar to it. It's Lubu.
Oh, Lubu, real food.
Lubu.
I see.
Honestly, don't pursue Lubu; you'll die.
Yeah. So this should be well. We'll have a fight, but I don't know. Yeah, it's like we're kind of in the part where. Oh, we're introducing these new characters, but at the same, these characters and everything, but are learning a little bit about the past. But the problem is that the main character is boring as hell.
Which main character?
PETA.
Yeah, that's the one I don't like.
I mean, it's like, it's just, I don't know, it's just nothing in this series has happened that's made me actually be interested, so... I don't know why I'm supposed to be invested here. So, yep, let's move on to Toriko chapter 299, Revolt Against Tyranny.
Kandera's my favorite character in that series so far.
Well, yeah, I guess, but it's just that's not saying much. There's just nothing it's just missing that special something to actually make it interesting. Anyway, let's move on to Toriko. But yeah, so They leave and they discover that, you know, the reason that they are able to be safe from all these other creatures is because the flower that they have, it causes a severe allergic reaction. It gives you serious hay fever and it's like, it's caused extinctions. And then Torgo's like, what? No way. And then Sunny does the stupid thing and touches it and they all have massive hay fever and there's like... tears, mucus, sneezing, and unstoppable sweating.
Keep that thing away from me.
Yeah. Fortunately, Kaka has the antidote. And I do love that panel of, you know, the water, all their liquids draining out of the caboose. And the shark is just like, what the hell? But then it's, turns out that the reason that it's so dangerous is that you will expel all of your liquids, like, almost instantly. So, yeah, it's not ordinary hay fever. So they continue traveling, and they end up finding
That's the weak version, by the way, though.
Yeah.
That was the weak version.
Yeah. And they end up... Yeah, they end up finding all those... Yeah, all those monkeys that attacked them before... And then they weren't murdered, they actually killed themselves. So it turns out that they were all being driven to starvation and madness, basically.
Well, they kind of did the thing that Olga would have done to anyone.
Yeah. And it turns out one of them, the EII, is still alive. Because apparently it has, you know, has orders to kill them.
And it's your favorite.
Yeah. Despite the fact that it's, you know... that it's being faced down by that flower, and so it's still going to, you know, its instinct is overpowered by its fear of the, you know, its masters. But then you find Toriko sprays it, but then heals it and feeds it. And so it's like, turns out, hey, yeah, you know, this point, yeah, you feel bad for the poor monkey. And so, yep. And then we find that we get to meet the first of the Gorilla Masters, which is the Gorilla Taurus, and has a capture level of 1,405.
Do capture levels even matter anymore? Do they even...
Well, considering that apparently the beginning, a capture level of 1 meant that you needed 10 people with rifles to take to take a creature of capture level 1 down. The capture levels were absolutely bananas from the start and should just be ignored, other than a factor that says this is a very strong animal.
So if we take 1,405 times 10, we need that many men with rifles, master riflemen, to take it down.
Pretty much.
They'd all be dead.
it can be ignored. But, yeah. But yeah, so Torgo's basically saying, I'm going to beat you up because the rules on this continent suck. So, yeah. I think that's kind of interesting to see what happens. And it's also bit with the way they feed the monkey is touching. And okay. Oh, hey, look, a flashback to chapter 1 of Naruto. Shall we read and see when it was still good?
I read through it just once.
I don't want to read it again.
I don't want to read it again. It was good to read again, but I was like, when I read it, I was like, you know, this is why people got into it. And I was just like, really, really, yeah.
It's disappointing
seeing how far it's gotten to where it is now.
Yeah, seeing what it was and what it became. I mean, at some point we should probably go through, reread the whole thing again and say why it is such an abject piece of shit.
I want to hunt down libraries. I'm not buying this.
I'm selling the ones that I have. Naruto is an absolute garbage. Anyway.
Get your full price. Don't get half price.
They're old. I don't think I can get full price for them. But anyway, let's see. We have the chapter that isn't in the thingy, which we already had we already had Shokugeki no Soma. So
Assassin's Cousin must be so lonely now. But hey, don't leave us.
Yes, indeed. Assassination Classroom, searching. Alright, we already went over, let's see. Have we gone over 106?
We were waiting for 106, remember?
Oh yeah, I see there's a huge break between there. Alright, let me just remind myself. Oh yeah, 106 is basically... this one's fun. It's basically, you know, Karasuma chasing after the... the God of Death. And you also get to have a little, you know, shaming party where everyone's like, oh, hey, Arena, I was like, why did you turn against that? And we find out that, you know, it's that, you know, basically because she realized, you know what, just having a regular life is not for her after everything she's gone through. So that's kind of part of the reason why she turned against them. So she is going to go after, Karasuma and shoot him in the back. We also get to see, you know, Koro-sensei is just like, yeah, see, even, you know, you kids can't face adult hitmen. They're just, you know, way too dangerous. And then the rest of the chapter is Karasuma showing how he is just a supernatural badass by managing to just walk through explosions, by dealing with, like, these Dobermen that have guns strapped to their backs, and being able to just walk through them because, like, you know, I love dogs. And the dogs just are absolutely terrified.
I wish that worked for me.
Yeah. And, of course, then it gets to... I mean, there were reasons for him, like, surviving the explosion and whatnot, but once you get to the part where he's just stops some I-beam or catches arrows with his bare hands, then suddenly you're just like, okay, this is ridiculous. But, yeah. So, anyway, the kids end up deciding, you know what, I think there's a way we can fight back, even though we're weak. There's a way we can throw a wrench in the God of Death's plan. So, that is that chapter. Good times.
Oh, yeah, you catch an I-beam and a crossbow.
And it's really amazing because I just enjoy how, you know, most of the time he's just kind of, you know, just off to the side, just, you know, not really doing anything impressive. But every once in a while you get to see him actually be impressive, and it's a lot of fun. So I quite enjoyed that. Indeed, it was an excellent chapter, and I've been really invested in this story just because I want to see what happens with Irina, you know, just with how she is having her having turned against them, and now I'm.
Well, her teacher's not dead, so we'll probably see her end up being on their side at some point again.
Well, yeah, but still, it does add an extra element of of investment here, you know. Because it's not just, oh, why, what's going on, etc., blah, blah, blah. No, it gives us another reason to care. You know, I mean, we care about the kids. We don't want them to die. Ultimately, we don't want Koro-sensei to die. We want to see Karasuma do awesome things. But at the same time, seeing Irina in a position where she is now turned against them, and we kind of want to see what comes of that. So, I'm invested. Alright, shall we move on to Fairy Tale, chapter 407?
Yep.
Alright, let's see. Why is that? Oh, geez, why is it not loading?
So, I'll just try and start it up. So,
yeah, tell us what happened.
Lumen Histoire is basically what Makarov's going to try and use. You know,
yes.
Last we left off, we saw Mavis in a crystal, and apparently it's got to do with using her, the case of it. And apparently Lumen Histoire is so forbidden or powerful of some sort that after it's used, he actually requests everyone in the guild that they must have their mind wiped of even seeing it or knowing of it.
Yeah. Which kind of reminds me of what
Hade said about, you know, how the reason why he became in the current series was because Lumen Histoire or something, the darkness or something, whatever it was, magic of the darkness, and I forgot what he was going on about, but
I don't know, well, he discovers the dark, that, you know, magic comes from darkness, etc. I don't think it's necessarily connected to this.
Okay, well.
We also then get to see a bit of a fight between Acnologia and Igneo, which that, you know, is just them smack-talking each other. The important part of this chapter is how Mardgear explains what the deal is with the demons of Zareth, where it turns out that, you know, they exist to serve Zareth. They wish to return to him. They wish to meet him. They will do anything for him. And the reason for this is because Zareth decided that eventually, as an immortal, decided he wanted to die. And so in order to do that, he created beings capable of killing him.
And I claim the title.
Uh-huh. The demons of Zareth are actually creatures that were demons of the Book of Zareth. They are the instruments of his suicide. Mm. So he created them to destroy him, and that is why they want to find him, because they want to kill him, because that's what he wants them to do.
Also, in this chapter, there was like a really funny, there was like a really interesting reference when Sting, or I think it was Sting, said something to Marge, and Marge responded to him, and then I forgot. It has to do with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the first part.
Oh.
The reference about when Dio said, like, how many breads have you eaten in your life? Like,
oh.
That was like, oh, like, oh, he's actually a fan of JoJo, too.
That is kind of amusing, yes. Oh. But yeah, and then they get attacked, then he uses this underground, this flower to attack them, but then it gets frozen because Gray has appeared, and he's now, you know, he's got Natsu's scarf, gives it back, and Gray is now here to destroy Mardgear because, yep, he is a demon slayer.
It'd be pretty interesting if Gray was the one to finish him off instead of Natsu, like usual.
That would be a very unusual thing. And
plus, Gray is the one with the power to destroy demons now.
Indeed, this is also true. So, I am curious to see how this fight goes. I can imagine that we'll probably end up with, Natsu being
all... all four of them probably beat him up or something.
Yeah, Natsu gets back in and is like, hey, I want to do this. But yeah.
Hey, it's my battle. I'm going to kick his butt. Hey, 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 hey.
Yeah.
This is a request from Fairy Tail, right? For Fairy Tail, right? And I'm part of Fairy Tail. I'm doing it too.
Yeah.
My kill. It was my kill.
Yeah. It was a fun chapter. I enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, it was. Mark Geer needs to show more emotion within the end.
I don't care. He's a boring character and he's not actually important. So.
Yeah.
We shall see. We shall see. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Anyway, I think it is time for us to move on. We need to discuss
Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins, indeed.
We got two chapters again.
Yep. I also just realized that there's a new chapter of Attack on Titan that we didn't notice.
What?
Yeah. So we'll have to go over that at some point.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we'll go over that next week. Save it for next week. So, but for now.
Release schedule, man.
Chapter 101, which is...
101.
Yep.
Fair.
Yep, basically we... Yeah, we have Merlin decide she's going to rejoin the Seven Deadly Sins. And, yeah, has a cute moment where she shakes hands with Hawk. It's like, oh, hey, we're as a fellow boar, I hope we can get along. And it's like, oh, that's a door one. Meliodas is like, you're going to use him as a guinea pig. And then, oh yeah, and of course it's talking about how Elizabeth did not use her ability to heal herself because she cares about other people so much, which kind of reminds me of how, you know, on airplanes they say, put your mask on first before helping anyone else, which is like, yeah, you know, if you're a healer and you're seriously injured, heal yourself first, otherwise you're going to pass out before you can help anyone else.
Good point. Of course, to be honest, when I play online games or something, I do tend to heal people more over myself.
Well, yeah. I mean, in games, it's, you know, that's different.
Because it's not, you're not really dying. You just die, and then you kind of get, you know, knocked out, and you have to wait until your friends revive you.
Indeed. But anyway, and of course, Merlin can't heal Elizabeth because, you know, she's that's not allowed, basically.
Only Sage can heal people, apparently. So,
indeed. Yep, and we also, of course, have a scene with Jericho acting all annoyed at the fact that she's no longer a knight, but at the same time she's like, well, at least I'm alive. And then we have a really weird scene where she meets up with Gwila and is like, hey, how come you didn't lose your power? And it's like, oh, it's the power of love. It was my love for him and his for me that protected me. And she's like, power of love? You're not seriously talking about your little brother, are you? And then you see a weird thing where it's like Gwila waving at Gowther, of all people, and then he has like a creepy little smile, and you're like, what the hell?
What the hell? I don't
when know. When did that talk about pairings coming out of nowhere? When did this
ship
happen?
Just sailed out of the mist without even noticing. It's like wait, when did this sail out?
I mean, it kind of works. They both have, like, you know, slightly creepy elements to them, but at what time had they interacted before, and at what time did they have enough time before the big climactic battle to fall in love? I don't get it.
I don't know.
This is so weird. This is so weird. I don't understand it at all, but yeah. Anyway, Elizabeth is healed again, and it's because Meliodas basically goes back and says, hey, if you die, I'm going to kill myself, so please heal yourself. And she ends up healing herself, which I'm like, Meliodas, you are an awful person, even when you're trying to be a good person.
Well, he is an awful person. I mean, he's always groping her. Don't forget that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just like, borderline, this is like textbook emotional abuse, in, you know, because a lot of times it's like, you know, you'll have people that are like, oh, if you break up with me, I will, you know, I'll kill myself, and then someone stays with an abusive person because they don't want them to kill themselves, and, you know, and this is basically textbook that.
Good point.
And so, but yeah, I guess, I don't know, I have to say, as much as, you know, Inaba has done the whole, oh, hey, look, here's possible pairings.
Nakaba Suzuki.
Yeah, oh, sorry, yeah, Nakaba, not Inaba.
I know, his name's a little hard to figure out.
Yeah, but he basically, you know, I like how he's actually been you know, moving from, I'm going to spend 15 years making you wonder who the characters are going to end up with, and then I'm going to do it wrong, or whatnot. With
well,
this,
started like 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's nice to see that he's actually, you know, being clear,
mm-hmm.
you know, with who's meant to be with who, you know. He doesn't do the, hey, look, I've got this character that's in love with the main character, with this other character, but that's not, you know, that's not actually going to happen. So instead of making you waste 15 years, I'm going to actually tell you right away who's with going to end up with who, basically. And speaking of which, let's move on to chapter 102,
mm-hmm.
which is, one moment. Let me go back to the beginning. There we go.
Revelation of parting.
Indeed. We begin with King, who's all sad because, you know,
Diane
he's thinking about how Diane is sad. And then, you know, he's like, oh, maybe I can get Diane to start paying attention to me. And he's like, ah, no, that's not going to work. And you get a bit of an interesting scene where, you know, he helps save someone but ends up getting squashed. And then Diane, who is... as use this medicine or whatnot to make her be regular human size.
Earlier made minimizing tablets.
Yeah. She ends up, you know, King is just like, oh, hey, he's like, you know, at that size, you can, you know, you can ask Meliodas out to the celebration, right? You know, if, you know, you know, he's like, I'm sure he'll say okay. And then Diane says, okay, King, will you come with me? He's like, wait, what? No, I'd only be a third wheel. And she's like, no, it's just you and me. So it's like, see, that's what I was talking about. It's, you know, there's always been these hints of, oh, King likes Diane, but she doesn't notice. Although I will say this does seem to somewhat come out of nowhere with her noticing now because she'd never noticed anything before.
Mm.
But, you know, I am curious to see how this keeps going, and I do appreciate the lack of, hey, I'm going to keep messing with, you know, just messing with you throughout the entire course of this series. You know, I'll just, like, you know.
Well, it's called suspense, but the problem is Casey Mole is the worst master of suspense ever. Anybody considers that he is a master of suspense,
he's
going to get kicked in the face.
It is very much nice to see someone that's not making the mistake of dragging crap out for 15 years and then being surprised when people are absolutely enraged that it, you know, that it didn't end the way they wanted it. Let's stop talking about that. That's for next week.
Yeah, so talk about for next week. But yeah, continuing on. So then we get to see what Gil Thunder's doing. He said he plans to leave the country to atone for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, hey, the kingdom's at peace. I don't need to be here anymore. I'm going to go see what's been going on to these places that I kind of wreaked havoc on for, sadly, reasons that you guys didn't know until later on.
Mm-hmm.
And then to wrap it up, and then we get another bit of news where, you know, with Merlin joining in the previous chapter, somehow Bond says he's planning to leave the Seven Deadly Sins. And he's like, wait, why is he going to leave it? Or because he's too good. Too good for him. And like, if you leave, who's going to cook the food for us?
Yeah. Well, it probably has something to do with, you know, it probably has something to do with the whole
Elaine.
Deal. Yeah, with Elaine and whatnot.
To probably find out where the demons are and get rid of them, probably.
Yeah. But we also, we end the chapter with, you know, Diane and King having fun. You get Merlin just kind of standing at the window looking out, and then you get that panel with Gowther leaning over someone who we can only see her mouth and nose, but we kind of know who that is, and we're like, oh my, that's getting a bit risque real quick there.
Wow.
I don't even know what to think. That romance came out of nowhere. That's kind of hilarious.
Did.
And kind of, in some way, kind of unsettling. I don't know why.
But, maybe because of Gowther.
Well, yeah, he is kind of an unsettling.
And Gila was kind of messed up in her own way, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
she did technically kill Veronica.
Well, that is true. She was introduced as a very creepy character, but she kind of became less creepy.
Mm.
But yeah, Anyway, let's see. It was a good chapter. I liked these two chapters. They were fun. They were quite a lot of fun.
I like the little aftermath chapter. They're always the best.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see World. Well, after we did get World. Well, I want to see World. World really just ended with his arc, so I want to see that one next week.
I do like aftermath chapters. And what I like about this one is that it just does a bunch of stuff out of nowhere where I'm like, wait, what? What's going on here? I'm confused.
Of course, what's going to happen after these chapters, though? Because it still doesn't give us an idea. I mean, okay, well, chapter 101, you did get to mention that, it was mentioned that there's supposedly some sort of evil in the East, so there's going to be a new villain that comes from the East.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to get another threat, so we'll kind of see what happens there.
I'm waiting to see Morgana Le Fay at some point.
I would be surprised if there wasn't.
And Lancelot.
Indeed. Well,
you know what I mean.
But yeah. Anyway, I think that's about it. Did we have any other manga to go over?
And no.
All right. Let's go ahead and wrap things up. This has been Manga Cubed episode 120 for the week of November 3rd, 2014. This week we went over One Piece volumes. Where'd they go? 54 and 55. There we go. And we also discussed the latest chapters when this week we managed to get... Yeah, we finally have Shokugeki no Soma Food Wars in the actual magazine. So the number of chapters that we read scanlations off of is down to one. And hopefully we can make that zero shortly.
Unless we add a new one to read. That's not actually in the series. That's not in the Weekly Show and Jump to read. That'd be a problem, though, but we'll see what.
Yeah, we'll see indeed. Well, let's go ahead and wrap things up with the author comments. Starting with Food Wars Shun Saeki. We finally got an anime. I'm so hyped. What do you think, Tsukada-sensei?
Let me get to that.
Yeah, I like to imagine that... the Food Wars guys are actually the main characters from Bakuman.
Oh, that's awesome. This year we finally got an anime. It's hilarious. Okay, Naruto's Musashi Kishimoto. The series concludes next week. We'll be running two chapters, so my deadlines are super crazy. I'll do my best. Actually, we already know.
Yes, indeed. World Triggers, Daisuke Ashihara. The huge invasion arc is finally over. It took about 9 months. So long. Look forward to a brand new arc. That was 9 months.
Takes really? About as long as a woman when she gets
yes,
pregnant.
Yes, Mo. That is so obvious you didn't need to point it out.
I know, but still 9 months. That just took so long.
That is kind of curious, yes.
I mean, really.
Move on.
Okay, Nisekoi is not, she called me. I spotted some three-leaf clovers during a walk, so I figured I'd search for four-leaf one. Turns out I found 2 5-leaf clovers. Whoa, I just read something that was almost hard to read for a while.
Alright, Bleaches, Tite Kubo. It's been a while, but I'm watching some television dramas this season. Nobunaga Concerto and Gomen no Seishun. Alright, and Toriko, next one, sorry.
Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. Koyama from News Every is so nice. What a great voice. Indeed. I really like Toriko's avatar. He's the only one that actually looks happy. Everyone else is like, eh.
Looks weird. Alright, let's see. We have time to do our rankings, shall we?
Yes.
I'm going to see, let's see. No, there's no One Piece.
I know.
One,
it's a big art, huh?
Two, three, four. All right. Fourth place, I'm going to say, is World Trigger.
Okay.
And what's your fourth place?
Bleach.
Cool. All right. Third place is Toriko.
Yeah, same here with Toriko.
Okay, and then second place was Food Wars.
Second place is Food Wars, yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah. wait, what was your fourth place again?
My fourth place was Bleach.
Oh, okay. First place is Nisekoi for me.
First place is World Trigger.
Oh, really?
Is it wrapped it up?
Oh, good point, yeah. It was enjoyable. Well, that's why I liked that chapter. But... All right, I think we are done here.
Totally wish Shokugeki no Soma could have gone first, but you know, it just wrapped it up, and it wasn't that. I mean, the best chapter actually came before this chapter, so that's what true. I could have been first then.
Yeah, true. But anyway, I think that's about it. Let's wrap things up here. This is, yeah, we don't have any questions or comments, so any questions, comments, send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or look Burning Lizard up on Twitter. Other than that, that is everything. We will see you all next week, and remember, the manga is always better.
Stay cool.